Okay, I'll make the point that I made in this week's Fire Tower. I don't know if you, and if you read it, I doubt it. It's for your parents. It's okay. Okay, here's what's very, very weird about the Avram story. Lech Lecha starts off, and Avram is told by God,
leave.
Leave and... I'm going to make you famous, and I'm going to make you, I'm give you a nation, you're going to have kids, you're going to have a land. It's wonderful, right? Oh, yes. Now, what is the immediate next story in Lech Lecha? After God promises him land and children and fame and... What?
Famine,
and what does he have to do?
Goes to Mitzrayim.
He leaves. He has to leave. Now, Rashi thinks that that's actually what he was supposed to do. That was passing the test, right? Rashi thinks that... The test was, are you going to say to God, what's going on? You just promised me a land and now I have to leave. Right? And he didn't say that. Ramban says, Avram was wrong. He should have had faith. He should have stayed. But Bengach Bengach, that should highlight the fact that land didn't go so well for him. In fact, it goes worse because that's just the beginning. Maybe Avram thought, okay, if a little famine, I'll come back. Later on, Avram finds out that how long is this going to be? Right? Until he actually gets the land?
400 years.
Yeah, 400 years, however you want to count that. 400, 430, right? Different psukim say different things. Maybe it's actually 210, God knows. Okay, whatever, right? Hundreds of years later. The other things he promised him. Children. How'd that go for him?
Not great.
Well, in last week's parsha, really not great. He had how many kids?
One.
Well, at the beginning he had none. He said, oh, it's going to be Eliezer who inherits me, which was actually the law in the ancient Near East, but that's fine. And then he has a son from Hagar. And then what happens to that son?
He kicks him out.
Well, let's be a little bit more specific. Sarah wants to kick him out. Avram isn't so sure. What does God say?
Listen
to her, right?
Which is great life advice.
Just great. Really good. Then, in this week's parasha, finally, you get the next promise, which is that you'll have a son from
Sarah,
and how does that one go for him?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that goes great. That's the Akedah, right? It's just a wonderful, right? This is a series of what I would call frustrate. The promises are being frustrated, right? Right? Actively. Why would God do this? Right? Meaning it's right. Avram must be frustrated, but I mean God is actively frustrating the fulfillment of his promises.
That's also how you interpret the promises.
Well, okay, one more second. Let me throw out one more problem. One more problem is, what did Avram do to deserve these promises to begin with? According to the Psukim, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Right? Remember, what do we know about Avram before he gets these promises?
Nothing.
Thank you. Absolutely nothing. We literally know nothing about him, except that he is Nahor's son. That is the extent of what we know about him. In this week's parsha, we find... Terach. Thank you. Someone's listening. Very good. Right? He's Terach's... Yes, we know... You're right. But we know his father and his brothers, to be totally perfectly fair there. Right? That's what we know. Okay? In this week's parsha, we find out why... It's not clear if this is why God chose him or why God really likes him and continues his relationship with him, right? This is, we'll point out maybe tomorrow at greater depth that this is, you know, one of the most important Sukkim Bereshis where Hashem explains what it is he loves about Avram, which is, Ki dativ l'man asher yitzaved banav et beito acharav v'shamru derech Adonai la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat l'man havi Adonai l'Avram et asher diber elav, right? I said that really fast, but... Because I know that he will command his family, his children after him, to follow the way of God, to do tzedek u'mishpat, tzedakah u'mishpat, to do justice, so that God can bring all the promises that he promised on Avram, right? It's clear that that's central, but we'll come back to that. But that's not what we hear before, right? We find that out a parsha plus later. Okay, good. Why? Why would you do this? Why is Hashem doing this? Right? What is the point?
Well, he needs somebody.
Yeah. So why is he frustrating these promises like this? What is he doing?
Well, people aren't very smart.
Well, sure, but that only begs the question, right? Meaning, okay, it's a test, and
is Avraham really the right person for this?
Yes. And why is he doing this?
If God's going to start a nation from him, then he got to make sure like this is
what he's good. So why didn't he try to find someone before? Like, he's very... But it's still weird.
Like, why he chose Avraham as the person.
We don't know why he chose him, but why is he... It's very weird, right? God is God, right? Chotamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Emet, right? God's signature is truth. You would think that he would like not try to make it look right. The test here is like, how manipulative is God going to look, and will you lose faith when God does that? Right? It still makes you ask the question: why are you doing this? Like, maybe it's a successful test for Avram, but still, right? Why? Right, you should tell him, right? Something, right? Things will be great. So here's a theory, okay? If Avram had just gotten the gifts, right? Like he'd walked in, gotten Israel, whatever, had children, all been easy. What would you have thought the nature of these gifts were?
They were magic.
They were?
Magic.
Oh, magic.
You need to earn them.
So you might have thought that they were free. What would have happened if the Psukim told you why Avram was special and then he got the gifts? What would you have thought about them?
You'd think that
you can't work on it.
If you're special, then you get stuff. If you're
not, would we call that in English?
Titled?
A reward? Right, a reward.
Yeah.
Right?
No. It's not a reward. A reward, you do something.
I said if the Psukim had told you why Avram deserved it and then he got them, then it would be a reward. As it is, it's just a gift. Right?
Pretty good gift.
Good. But if it's not a reward, and it's a gift for someone, we don't know why he deserves it, and God ends up frustrating it, so why do you think, why are these important? Why is it important for Avram to have children and a land? Right, what does it Sukkim tell us in this week's Parsha? Why is it important for him to have children?
The lineage is really important.
Because?
The lineage is really important. The thing that you said about
I just read it. Because? Lamana Asher Yitzaved Banav Beto Acharav. Right? Because he needs to educate somebody, right? He needs to pass on the message. Which tells you that in the eyes of Vayera, why do you have children? Is it a reward?
No, it's a...
No, what is it?
Obligation.
What? What did you say? What is it? What is it? So what is the... what are the children?
Oh.
To continue.
They're a... Right? They're a tool, a means to...
Okay.
Right? Well, to continue, right? The Derech Hashem. What about the land of Israel?
Also a tool.
Also a tool. How is Hashem going to convince Avram that the gifts that he's giving him are not rewards, they're not just gifts, but they're tools for him to accomplish his goal? How are you going to do that? Well, how? Think about it. What does he say?
So making him work for those tools.
Making him work for them. Specifically how? Right? When does he have children? Right? Only after we find out that the purpose of the children is to educate them, and once he proves to God that he's willing to give up his children because he wants children so that he'll have the ability to follow God's way, which if God tells him the way to do that is to kill his child, then in theory he'd be willing to do that because having children to begin with
That comes after he has children, though.
Good. What about the land? Think about it. The land. Right?
They're all tools for him.
Correct. So the land, well, let's be careful. For him, but then what do you find out? Is it really for him?
No,
it's for the nation that will come from him. And what does the nation have to do before they can come back to the land?
They have to prove themselves loyal.
So that's not actually what the Psukim say. What do the Psukim tell us they have to do?
Go through slavery.
They have to go through. Right. Why? Why do they have to do that? There's a point that the Ramban makes over and over in Tanakh. Why do they have to do that?
To be shown that they're nothing more than tools.
Why do they go through Mitzrayim? No. Why do they go through... That's what he makes in Bereishit. What does he say later in the Torah? Why do they have to go through Mitzrayim? Not why do they end up in Mitzrayim. Why do they have to go through? Yes, but why is that a promise? Come on. Because the experience of Mitzrayim sensitizes the people to the plight of those who are... Yes, Geirim, Yatom, Mama. Think about how many times the Torah says, remember that you were in Mitzrayim, therefore take... Meaning that They're only going to get the land after they've gone through the formative experience that sensitizes them to the qualities that allow them to fulfill the mission that was given to Avram. So why does Hashem promise these big things and then actively frustrate them to make it abundantly clear that these are not neither rewards nor gifts? They are tools. And therefore, it doesn't matter what you deserve them. Hence, we don't hear what Avram did explicitly. Right? And you're not going to get them until you understand that and you're ready to use them. Now, parenthetically, and I'll end with this, this is, in fact, what the Rambam thinks is true of all the brachot in the Torah. Right? The Rambam thinks that all reward is only in Olam Haba. And all the rewards in this world, the Rambam understands as merely the tools. That if you're good in this world, God will give you more tools to fulfill His will. But the real reward, meaning as an ends and not a means, is only in the world to come. So this sort of this philosophy that's true of Avram, for the Rambam, is true of literally all the brachot in the entire Torah. This isn't unique to this story.
Doesn't the Rambam also say you should like enjoy life though and like enjoy what God gives you?
Yeah, fine, but that as a tool. The Rambam is actually the Rambam is very instrumental in this sense. Right? The Rambam Perek Dalet Halacha Alef Hilchos Deos is very clear about this. Right? It's a mitzvah to be healthy. Why? Why? Because if you're not healthy, you can't serve God. Right? Meaning, we want you to be healthy, we want you to be happy, we want you to all that, because otherwise you can't serve God. Right? The Rambam is very instrumental in this sense. Right? Not everyone is. Rav Kook, I wrote a paper for this when I was an undergraduate, that Rav Kook...
Wrote or you read?
I wrote a paper for this when I was an undergraduate about it. Rav Kook systematically deconstructs this position of the Rambam and assumes that enjoying life here is actually an end in and of itself. The Rambam did not really believe that. What?
Living in Israel?
No, just enjoying life in general.
Oh, okay.
Right? The Rambam thought that was a means. Right? All of that. Happiness,
so
health.
If this is the ends.
Gamze be Gamze, right? Like, Cook is... people love Rav Kook. It's a much nicer belief system than the Rambam sometimes. It makes it feel warmer. It really does. That doesn't mean it's one's better or one's worse. I'm just saying. It really does.
There's the things where it says, like, Schar ba'olam hazeh, v'schar ba'olam habo, matan ba'olam hazeh.
Yeah, so he says it's not really schar in this world. It means, like, the schar in this world is that I give you more opportunities so you can build up your repertoire for the world to come. Right?
It's a weird way of looking at things, though.
Okay. For another time. Okay, anyways, those are some thoughts on Lessons on Vayera.